And again, unfortunately, Brian and Sue Samuel couldn't be here. Kind of happened midweek, and they had to unexpectedly cancel their whole trip to Florida, which included Kol Mashiach as well as some other stops. But we're going to work to bring them back here to Kol Mashiach very, very soon. They live up in the Northeast, so we're going to get them down here soon. Meanwhile, we continue today with our study of James. If you have your cards, we are in James chapter 3 already, and the text today is James 3, 13 to 18. Today's topic is another good one. You know, we've been going through James, and every week it just seems like it's a pretty big topic, a pretty big, like, thing that we need to get in our lives, and today's is no different. The topic is wisdom, and which is very misunderstood, right? A lot of people think they have wisdom. Most people think they have wisdom to some degree or another. We're going to talk about that today. The definition of wisdom, and get this, the definition of wisdom is knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. Okay, so knowledge of what is true and right, knowledge of the truth, coupled with just judgment as to action. So it's two things, really. It's both knowledge and really action. But here's the thing. When we talk about both of those things, well, let's start with the first one, knowledge of what is true and right. The question we probably should ask ourselves, especially in today's world, is who determines what is true and who determines what is right? In the world today, there is vast amounts of opinions about what is truth. There is this person's truth today, and then there's this person's truth. There's your truth and there's my truth, right? But really, there's one truth, and it's God's truth. And we're talking about true wisdom. That's the message title today. And what we're talking about is spiritual wisdom. And there's only one source of spiritual wisdom, and that is God. And we're going to talk about that. Number two, just judgment as to action. So wisdom is both knowing what to do, knowing what the truth is, and doing it. Just as we read recently about faith without works is dead, knowledge without actions is not true wisdom. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. Let's begin James chapter 3, verse 13. We'll just start with verse 13 to begin. James 3, 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So again, we have this idea of works. James is touted as the works guy. I mentioned this before. Paul or Shaul is touted as the faith guy. But that's not really true at all. They both were filled with grace, or both with knowledge and faith, and also actions in their lives. And when we really truly read both of their writings, all of their writings, we see that. But we do see here in James 3:13 that back then, 2,000 years ago when James was writing, Yaakov was writing, and even today, there are those that choose to be wise, and there are those that don't choose to be wise, again, according to God's standards of wisdom. Now, we are going to get into the book of Proverbs because it's all about wisdom, and we're going to have a lot of scriptures from Proverbs. But you know, there's the wise person that's talked about, but then there's another person that's talked about, those that don't choose to be wise, and Proverbs calls them fools or the foolish. We don't want to confuse, though, salvation and redemption with wisdom. This is the first thing that we have to be wise about. There are two different things, really. Salvation is one thing, redemption in the Lord, getting saved, so to speak, and being wise. They are two different things. You can be redeemed in Yeshua, and you could be the most baby of baby believers, and you could lack huge amounts of wisdom in your life. And it happens, right? You could not be wise at all. Wisdom is a sign. It's not a sign of salvation. Rather, it's a sign of maturity as a believer. So we're not talking about salvation today. We're talking about what to do after that. How do we get wise? How do we live godly, spiritually mature lives, wise lives? Now, to begin with the study of wisdom, we need to look at the genesis of wisdom. We need to look at, where does wisdom start? How does it start? Again, the world out there has no shortages of books that tell you this is what you need to read, and then you're going to be wise. Not only wise, but you're going to be wealthy, right? You're going to be healthy. You're going to be all of these things if you just read my book, or if you do my thing, or you do this diet, or you subscribe to this belief system. There's no shortage of opinions in books, gurus, people with opinions. They all seem to know what they're talking about, and they have all this, they're purveyors of quote-unquote wisdom. So how do we tell how to differentiate God's wisdom from all this other stuff that sometimes seems very, very close to God's wisdom, but yet it veers far off at different points? How do we tell? Again, we got to look at the genesis of wisdom, and it all starts with God. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Told you we were going to be in Proverbs today. We start out way at the beginning of the book, because the book's all about wisdom, about the wise man and the foolish man, and how we should really be striving to be the wise man. But in Proverbs 1:1, we simply read, and we start off with this: the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. You know, we read about Solomon today in one of our readings there, in our Haftarah reading. Who was Solomon? He was a major king in Israel's history. Most of you know who Solomon was. He was the son of David, probably one of the two, if not the greatest king in Israel's history, from a getting land and perspective and wisdom and riches. He was the wisest man according to Scripture, and he wrote this book along with other ones, Proverbs. And he teaches us, God teaches us through Solomon's words, how to be wise and mature believers. So let's continue. Proverbs 1, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Boy, this sounds like what we're after today, right? True wisdom. Let's keep going. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So basically, you have the synopsis of the book right there. But did you catch that? The beginning of all knowledge, the beginning of all wisdom is God, or rather, the fear of the Lord. So what is the fear of the Lord? You know, people talk about the fear of the Lord. Some people say, well, you got to be scared of God because God can come down and zap you if you don't do something right. You ever met a believer like that's walking around? Oh, I got to be careful because if I mess up, I'm going to get zapped. And they walk around in fear, worried about their salvation, worried about how to grow in the Lord, worried about if they're doing the right thing or they're not doing the right thing. That's not the fear of the Lord. Doesn't mean being scared or afraid. It means having not only an understanding, but a reverence for God. When we have a reverence for God, we have a reverence for certainly Him, but the things of Him, His people, His ways. There is an understanding that God is above us, that God is greater than we are, that we are not God, that God is the authority, the source, in this case, of wisdom, and certainly everything else that's good. But said another way, wisdom comes from God. Proverbs chapter 2. Now let's go one chapter ahead to verse 6 of chapter 2. If that wasn't clear enough, Solomon tells us this: for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So if it was any type of ambiguity before, he lays it down here. The Lord gives wisdom. Not your knowledge, not your understanding, not your education, not all the things that you've accumulated in your life. The Lord gives wisdom. It's pretty plain and simple. Now, as I said, the world has no shortage of purveyors of wisdom. But man's knowledge and wisdom, if it's not connected with God's knowledge and wisdom, is not wisdom at all. Remember in Proverbs, two kinds of people, the wise and the foolish. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, written by Rav Shaul, written by the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says this: for the wisdom of the world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise, in quotes, in their craftiness. Verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Now, of course, the wise that he's talking about, he's being facetious here. The wise are really the foolish people that think they're wise. Usually it's the fools. I mean, one of the characteristic traits of being foolish is you think you're wise. You think you're not foolish, right? It happens every time. So he's saying, you who think you're wise, you're really foolish. Now, here's the thing. Wisdom, we're talking about spiritual wisdom from the Lord. We know that there's wisdom, worldly wisdom, that we do need to accumulate at times, right? We need to have educations. We need to understand and do different trades and different things in our lives to make money, to support our families. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the wisdom that comes from knowledge of the world so that we can walk around in the world because we are supposed to be in the world, yet not of the world. What we're talking about is a spiritual wisdom, so let's not confuse the two. Yes, there are many things that are good out there that we can learn, trades, and like I said, education and experience, but we're talking about spiritual wisdom. And remember the definition of that wisdom from earlier, knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. So we spent some time talking about the knowledge part, how it comes from God, and now we can talk about the action part. We must walk, we must act in God's wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 2 again, but instead of reading verse 6, let's just continue on with verse 7, talking about the Lord. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. You know, one of the fallacies of being a believer is we just think if we just sit there and accumulate the knowledge, God's just going to start downloading things, which he does, but then he's just going to start giving us stuff. And things are just going to fall into our lap because we're following God, we're thinking on God. But we have to understand, biblically speaking, that we need to both have the knowledge and then we have to walk it out. Proverbs tells us, he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So you've got to walk it out. But you've got to walk it out what? In integrity. We've got to walk it out. He will be a shield for me as I walk in integrity. People can not see what's in your heart. You can have a tremendous amount of stuff stored up in here, but if it's coming out the wrong way, or if you're not walking it out with integrity, it is almost as if you're like a fool. It is like you're a fool in a lot of ways, because again, wisdom is both knowing and doing. Point number one, wisdom is shown in our actions. I can't show you how wise I am by what's inside of me. You can't see inside of me. I can't see inside of you. How it's born out is by you and I walking it out. Walking it out with words, walking it out with actions, walking it out with kindness, walking it out with godliness in our lives. That's what we need to do. The wise person knows what to say and do and knows the right time to say and do it. This is another piece of wisdom. We can speak the truth. Listen to this. We can speak the truth. But we can speak it in an unwise way or at the wrong time. We talked about Lashon Hara the other week. You know, Lashon Hara can be actually speaking truth, but the wrong way that does more damage if you don't have discernment and wisdom. We got to have discernment and wisdom. We can do all these things for the kingdom of God. We can do them, though, in an unwise way. Many believers walk around with tons of knowledge of God inside of them, but they express what comes out is certainly unwise. And I think we can think of examples. Of course, it's always the other person, right? Not us. But I can think of ways that I walk it out unwisely. I think you can think of ways you walk it out unwisely. Here's an example. I've been forgiven by God. You've been forgiven by God. Do we then go out and speak unforgiving things to people? Do unforgiving things to people? We have been shown the mercy of the Holy One of Israel, but are we unmerciful towards others? And I'm not just talking about fellow believers, even the world out there. Yes, they don't deserve it. Yes, they treat us badly, but we didn't deserve it, and God took care of us with dying for us, showing that he loved us, that he has mercy and patience for us. We need to extend that to other people, even when they don't deserve it. This is wise. Our ultimate example, of course, is who? Yeshua. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 14. Now, this is probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it's got this idea in it that I keep saying I want to do a whole series on this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that's Yeshua, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, just that, those five words, full of grace and truth. We could do hours of study on full of grace and truth. Yeshua practiced wisdom. He had tremendous amounts of truth, always the truth, but he also was filled with grace. Are we filled with both truth and grace in abundance? Many times, we're one or the other, right? That's an unbalanced life. We're full of truth, 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 and there's no grace for other people. Well, if God was that way, we wouldn't have any type of grace from God. So we need to be careful that we don't walk in truth and not grace, or that we don't walk in fully grace. Whatever you want to do is fine. I love you no matter what. And no truth. Yeshua came full of grace and truth. Now, what does all that mean? It means knowing when to act, when to not act. Knowing when to be still, when to move. Knowing when to speak and not to speak. That only comes from knowledge of the Lord and also being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh inside of us, because the Spirit directs us. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that to that person. Yeah, it's probably what they need to hear, but maybe they need to hear it next week when they're ready to receive it. I don't know. That's where wisdom and discernment comes in. There's that word again, wisdom. Being full of truth means we have the full knowledge and understanding of the Holy One of Israel and not the world's knowledge of him. But being full of grace means we can have empathy with those even when they're far from God. Wisdom is shown in these ways in our actions. All right, let's continue. James chapter 3, let's go back to our text, 14, 15, and 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, right? This is the world's wisdom. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. This is obviously not what God wants us to do. This is obviously not the way to walk out wisdom, because it's walking out foolishness. When we have bitter jealousy towards other people, when we have selfish ambition in our lives, ambition is not always bad, but what we're talking about here is that selfish ambition. These are clearly things of the world, right? Another word for all of this is when we're filled with self. When you and I are filled with self, it doesn't go really right. The wisdom doesn't pour out of us when we're filled with self. The Bible calls this kind of living, living in the flesh. So self or flesh. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. When Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the Galatians, he's describing to the Galatians, and really for us today, two ways we can live. Now, this is the Proverbs ways, right? Wise or foolish. But the way he describes it is we can live by the Spirit, certainly wisdom if you're walking in the Spirit, or we can live by the flesh, foolishness. So you could see how the two things are right there. So he describes it in the Galatians letter as the Spirit and the flesh. Let's read what he talks about when he talks about the flesh part. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh, or the foolish, are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this is not how we want to be. This is the wrong path that we're going down, right? These are sinful things, things that separate us from Adonai. They're opposite of holiness. God wants us to be holy as he is holy. This is being carnal as he is not, right? This is being fleshly. This is being not of the Spirit, but of the flesh. Now turn to Romans chapter 8, another book by Rav Shaul. I love Romans chapter 8. What a great chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's Torah, to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. That's pretty straightforward, right? Point number two is flesh and self are not of God. We are walking in incongruence when we have God's word implanted in us and what's coming out is carnal, selfish, sinful, of the flesh. Now let's continue. We need to be holy. We need to walk in wisdom, not carnal, fleshly, walking in the flesh or self. Back to James, the text again today. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above, so he's contrasting now. He talked about the bad part. Now here's the good part. For the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That sounds really good, right? This sounds a lot better. God's wisdom, heavenly wisdom, spiritual true wisdom, is completely different than worldly spiritual wisdom or worldly wisdom. There's a lot of good things in the text here. Pure, being pure. Peaceable, not being, you know, committed to strife. Gentle, not harsh. Open to reason, able to discuss and reason together. Full of mercy, that's a good one. Impartial, sincere. But let's dwell on this other one for a minute here. Full of good fruits, right? Full of good fruit. Now, we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, some really bad stuff before. But there's that famous passage in Galatians we're going to go to now. It's Galatians 5, 22 through 25. This is the complete opposite now. And this is the famous fruit of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Let's read it, Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no Torah, there is no law. And those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's get on board. Of God's train, not the world's train, not the fleshly or self train that we so often just go right to, you know? We talked before in previous messages, I've talked a lot about trees. We are like trees, believers. There's analogies to trees throughout the Bible. And the trees that we're talking about are those that produce fruit on them. Okay, we live in Florida. There's tons of orange groves, right? If you ever drive through the middle of Florida, there's orange trees everywhere. It's beautiful when you see them. Trees that produce good fruit is what we want to be, according to the Spirit. One of the fruit that's listed there in Galatians 5, 22 to 25 is peace, shalom. What is shalom? Well, shalom is a Hebrew word, and this is written in the Greek, I understand. But shalom, peace, it's written by a native Hebrew speaker, by the way. And shalom, or peace, means hello, means goodbye, it means peace, but it also means wholeness, just fullness. When we live out godly wisdom in our lives, putting on the knowledge of God inside of us and letting it work out, manifesting it out with godly action, that's the fruit of wisdom. The fruit of our trees, of our lives. You know, when a tree is underground, you put the seeds in the ground, you can't see it when the root system happens. But then this tree grows up and fruit comes off and you can pick out the fruit, you can taste the fruit, and you can see that the fruit is good. Can people take the fruit off of our trees and see that it is good? Do we have good fruit? Are we exhibiting the peace or the shalom or the wholeness of God walked out in our lives? Colossians 3, verse 15 and 16, last scripture today. Colossians 3, another Rav Shaul letter. We need to be exhibiting the shalom of God born out in the fruit of our lives, right? Colossians 3, 15, and let the peace, let the shalom of Messiah rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing. So the word is dwelling in us. Let me stop right there. Dwelling in us, but what happens after that? We teach, we admonish one another. It's outflow. in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Do you see how it's all interconnected? True wisdom is not just knowledge, it's bearing it out, teaching and admonishing. You don't have to be up here teaching and admonishing. You could do it in your own lives. Listen, the first person we should teach and admonish is ourselves, right? The first person is the person in the mirror. But then, what has God entrusted you with? A family? Children? If you're a kid, maybe brothers and sisters, friends. Everybody has people in their lives that we can exercise godly wisdom with. Putting that knowledge in us and pouring it out with good fruit in our lives. When we have the shalom of God, you know, the peace that passes all understanding, as Philippians says, we're going to be living out our faith, which is the whole point of the book of James. In all wisdom. Living out our faith in all wisdom. We need to be promoters of peace, promoters of that wisdom in our actions, showing what's living inside of us. And that's the last point. Point three, be a promoter of shalom. Are you and I promoters of shalom? Promoters of the wholeness that comes when we're living a godly life, a wise life in God. That means when we speak, when we act, in our interactions with others, in person, on social media, at work, at home, in the grocery store, when you're driving your car, and wherever else you find yourself during the week, right? We should be exercising wisdom. It's a challenge. It's a conviction, certainly. But in 2023, let's purpose to walk in godly, true wisdom. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We praise you. You've given us the answers. You've given us the word to feed our hearts, feed our souls, feed our minds. But Lord, you ask us to walk it out. That's the essence of wisdom. So Lord, help us to not only study your word, read your word, pray to you, of course, gather together, but also give us opportunities, Lord, as we live our lives to exercise true wisdom. It could maybe just be a word to somebody. Maybe it could be keeping silent about things. We don't know, Lord God, but you know. And through the Ruach, through the Spirit of you, we will be shown how to walk each and every day. So guide and direct our hearts, Lord God, to walk out the truth in all manner of wisdom. We thank you, God, and we praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.